Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economics show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing, but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show. Welcome to the 261st show of Your Economic Forum, entitled Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. Before we begin, remember the discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only, and the opinions of any guests I might have on show today, they do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, KMRH staff, members, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, it matters money affects us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, little of it, or none of it, and controls our economy, our country, our planet, in some way it controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. So thanks for joining us. Version of investing in community today. Yeah, we'll just give you some Dow. Dow's floating 24,212. Got up in the upper 24,000s. Now it's back and back down. These large numbers, 24,000, 25,000, are what some technical analysts regard as support points below us. So for 24,212, the support is 24,000. And the resistance level is 25,000. There are a lot of technical resistance and support levels between those, but those are the big numbers a lot of people look at. NASDAQ sitting at 6809 and S&P 2636. So we have a special show here today. We have founder of Women of Worth here, and then Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez will join us on the show. So we'd like to welcome to the show Sandy Schmidt of Women of Worth. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. Great to be here, Mark.
Thanks for joining us today. So, we did a little video film on Women of Worth a little while ago, and I learned a heck of a lot, and I'm speaking to the founder. It must have been a lot of work.
A lot of work. Labor of love.
A labor of love. So, we won't go into much of the history of the organization, but... For people, I think people are pretty generally familiar with Women of Worth, but kind of in a nutshell, what exact services do you provide and to whom do you provide it to?
We provide services to families in crisis, families escaping domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. That includes single women, single parents with children. That would be men and women. So that way they have the needs and the resources to go someplace to get some support and some help.
Now, most people wouldn't think the Women of Worth would support men. Are there battered men out there? I guess there are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Goes both ways.
Goes both ways. I can imagine. So the cornerstone of your organization is exactly what? Not the revenue-producing side or how you raise funds. We'll get to that. But what exactly are the services that are available, and to whom do you petition those to if somebody's out there listening?
Our services include, but are not limited to, emergency shelter, transitional shelter, relocation services, legal, medical, counseling, mentoring, career advice, financial assistance. Because we are non-government funded, we can personalize each case to what they need and are not limited to out-of-county beds, in-county beds, and how long they stay with us. As long as they work the program, we want them to be successful and not have to exit early because their time is up here.
Now, is it a temporary program? People come and then they go after they get help, or do they stay long term, or what's the average duration of people that
you're
helping?
Average is 6 months if they're in our shelter. Mm-hmm. Some stay shorter because maybe they already have a vehicle, maybe they have a career, they have a little bit more, together that they need. So their needs maybe are just other things. But others we might help from start to finish, and that might include everything. They don't have a vehicle. They've been doing the most amazing job, and that is raising their children. So now it's maybe going back to school, helping with the resume, finding, counseling, healing from the inside out. It's the long term that we find when transformation happens, and that's why our success rate is so high.
So there's shelter, both temporary and mm-hmm. longer term.
Uh-huh. Legal and medical assistance.
Legal and medical assistance. There's counseling.
Counseling, right? Advocacy, mentoring, education, career, and financial assistance. Emergency cell phones. Really, it's case by case.
Mm-hmm. And do you get involved with the judicial system at all? How's the interaction there?
Yes, we do, and we work great with them. Mm-hmm. Because we're located right across the street from the courthouse in Nevada City.
Yes, you
that
are.
That makes it amazing for so many other organizations that need our help, also for our clients to be right there to get the help they need, and we're just right there to help them.
And do you have a number about how many people you serve on an ongoing basis generally?
In our shelter alone, there's always usually between 16 and 18 women and children residing in there at any given time.
Okay, and do you ever run out of resources as far as either places to stay or things that you can provide?
We do run out of resources, so to speak, but we'll always find a safe place for them to stay. If it's in a temporary home, that we have other homes that we use on an emergency basis, that someone qualified has a bedroom that they can stay in there temporarily till we can find an opening in our home or in another shelter.
So you never have to turn anyone away?
We don't leave them high and dry.
Okay. And if someone is out there listening, where is the dynamic as far as when they should seek you out, obviously, if they're physically abused, but you must have cases that are on the borderline or so. So for the people that are listening out there, when can they seek you out? At any time they feel they need your help?
At any time they feel they need our help, even if just a call. There's also Community Beyond Violence in our community organization, which is formerly DVSAC. Mm-hmm. So we work closely with them, and we like them, like people to call them first, if at all possible, because they're a much larger organization, and they provide have a lot more staff to help them. But that doesn't mean we won't help them. We just try to do the right protocol and have them call them first as well. But they're also sometimes they prefer to call one organization over the other, and that's fine.
And you're a nonprofit.
We're a nonprofit.
And so
501c3.
So when you look for resources, basically, I know you have a thrift store. So what exactly do you look for besides the things that are coming into the thrift store? Volunteers, donations.
We right now are interviewing for someone to help us in our office, in our shop. So if people are out there, either on a volunteer position, possibly a paid position. We're looking for additional shelter staff if someone's qualified there. We are also expanding our board of directors. So there's a lot of, a lot of places that people can serve. We welcome men as well. We always need good men in there helping, strong help to fix things, to kind of be there in our office, having their presence. We have a male that answers phones for us, and he's fabulous. So we always need volunteers. We always need it. We're especially shorthanded this time of the year. And again, needing extra help in our office, in our shop, either on a in a paid position or volunteers always. There's also positions, volunteer positions to do at home, research. I know I need someone to help me, an assistant to help me with researching things, and they can do it from their home.
Is there a shortage of men that help you?
There is. And we welcome men because we need men for so many different areas to help us out. From picking up, delivering donations, to lifting heavy things, to fixing things at our office, at our shop, or at our shelter. So there's always, because when we get donated vehicles, we need guys help there. And again, with techie stuff, repairs.
Whatever you can get.
Whatever we can get. We just, yeah, it's there's so many areas to serve. So we welcome that. And because we are community supported, non-government funded, we stretch our dollars. They go a long ways. And so we really do count on the community to help keep our doors open. And our thrift shop is a huge factor in keeping our shelter open.
Yeah, we covered that in the video. We're speaking to Sandy Schmidt, the founder of Women in Worth right here in Nevada City. Is that the only facility you have there besides the shelters?
Yes.
Okay. And that's right across from the courthouse in Nevada City.
Yes, 224 Church Street on the corner of Church and Main.
Okay. And your website?
Our website is women-of-worth.org. They can find us on Facebook. We're very active on Facebook.
Okay.
And there's a lot of Women of Worth out there. We're not affiliated with anyone. We are a public benefit charity, so you can find us on Facebook at I Have Worth. And our phone number is 530-264-7337.
Okay, before I let you go, do you want to add anything else that we didn't cover?
You know what I'd like to add is that this time of year, the crisis calls are through the roof. I don't think any of us are having a day off, so if anyone can, and this speaks, our clients, we're making sure they're all taken care of, but our advocates that work so tirelessly on the crisis line, going out on calls constantly, filling the needs, going to the courthouse, stop in our office at 224 Church Street, give them a hug, bring in a card, tell them they're appreciated. They need to hear that. They're on the front lines. We serve on the front lines every day, and it does get weary, so we appreciate just a little pat on the back. That would help the advocates to know that, hey, you're doing good, so they can keep going on the next day, because without them, there would be no Women of Worth.
Okay, perfect. Sandy Schmidt, founder of Women of Worth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez in just a second. Expecting call from Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez in just a minute. You are listening to Money Matters. Big thanks goes out to Sandy Schmidt of Women in Worth. It's a great video. You could check out Facebook under my page, or I believe it's under the Women of Worth Facebook as well.
Yes.
Okay. You can check out that little video, and it shows you all about Women of Worth, which is a great organization. And Definitely was fun making the video. Their phone number again, 530-264-7337, 530-264-7337. And they're at 224 Church Street in Nevada City, across from the courthouse. And so we do have veer off of investing in money quite a bit on this show, and to go on into investing in community. We do things about investing in your garden and in your body and in your mind and community around us, and we profile all sorts of great organizations and entities that are happening. So we'll be right back. We'll get Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez online. Welcome to you, another edition of Money Matters, your economic forum. And today we're concentrating on investing in community. Money Matters is carried on about 60 radio stations throughout the U.S. And I believe we are now welcoming Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez on the line. Melissa?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Mark, so much for having me.
Well, seeing your resume there, I have to say, Privet, Dobra, Pa, Shalavet.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I say that right?
You know a little risky, do you?
Tadoista.
Very good.
Well, we could go over your resume for quite some time, make a whole new show about that. But thanks for calling in. We appreciate you taking the time to do that. You know, I have to say, with all this media coverage on sexual harassment, I first have to ask you, from your position, your view, what's going on in the world of politics? It seems like every day someone's coming into the forefront for this. It's like an epidemic.
Yeah, you know, I think this has been going on for a very long time, and it's just, you know, since the Weinstein scandal broke, I think that just, you know, pushed the door wide open for what's been going on in politics to now come into the forefront. Unfortunately, that's been going on. Fortunate that it's finally getting the attention it deserves, and perhaps we can actually do something about it.
I'm Mark Cunabrota. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We're speaking with Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez. So you have Bill AB 403. Tell us a little bit about the bill and what the provisions that are contained in it.
The legislature some years ago, a couple of decades ago, I believe, passed the Whistleblower Protection Act, which affords opportunities to state employees to report unethical, immoral, type of illegal behavior as well, without fear of retaliation, without fear of losing their jobs for reporting. Everyone is covered under that Protection Act, with the exception of legislative staffers, so those who work directly for a legislator. So everyone on my staff, if they saw me doing something illegal, immoral, unethical, they could not report it without knowing that, you know, their job would still be protected. Now, I can't tell you why legislative staff were carved out of this act, mm-hmm. Because I wasn't around when this happened. It seems very suspect, but what I can tell you is that has to stop, because as we've seen, there's an awful lot of things taking place that shouldn't be, and staff members need to have the same legal protections that everyone else has.
Now, apparently this bill, you have tried to pass this bill on a few occasions without success. So I won't ask who, but what would be the general resistance, at least it's in its original format, to a bill like this?
That is a great question, one that I cannot answer because I've not been given an answer myself. We have asked several times. This bill came forward when I presented it in 2014. It has passed through my house, the Assembly, every year, 4 years in a row. And then when it gets to the Senate, it just gets stalled. It gets, you know, it never sees the light of day. We have asked several times, what is the reason for that? We've not been given an answer. So I wish I could answer it for you, but I cannot.
Have you altered the bill in the most recent version because of what you're seeing on the mass media?
We are altering it in that we are adding an urgency clause, which means that whenever it is passed and the governor signs it, it goes into effect immediately instead of waiting, you know, till usually the end of the year for the governor to sign it. We are also adding language in there that says very explicitly this does cover sexual harassment. The bill in its current form covers sexual harassment, but we don't want anyone saying, well, we're not sure what the legislature's intent was, so we don't know if we can rule on this. So we're going to make that perfectly clear so that no one can weasel out of being held accountable.
Is there any party politics being played with this? I would not think there would be, but I would imagine that there always is a little bit.
There is always politics. Yes, there is. Again, the Assembly has been united on this bill. It's been bipartisan. There has not been one single member who has voted against this bill. I've had a slew of people asking to co-author the bill with me on the Assembly side. But when it gets to the Senate, that is where it stalls. And it begs the question, why? And why won't anyone answer that question? So I can speculate all day as to what's going on, but really the answer needs to come from the leadership on the Senate side as to why they won't allow this bill to pass. I'm hopeful that this year they will let it get through, but they have been strangely silent on that side of the building, so I couldn't tell you for certain. But we're making a very heavy push on the Assembly side from a bipartisan effort to make sure that this bill gets passed.
You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Joining us today is 67th Assembly District Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez. Here we are sitting in 2017. You would think that there were protections in place for whistleblowing and protections and going against retribution. So what is lacking where AB 403 would have to address in addition to what currently is in place?
Well, I mean, if you think about the stories that we've been hearing from women, and that's whether it's in politics or the entertainment industry or, you know, pick another industry that's been subject to this type of scandal recently, we know that women don't come forward for a number of reasons. One, the retaliation. And sometimes that is not as overt as one might think. You can find ways to fire someone without saying that the reason you're firing them is because they made a claim against you or someone who is close to you. And that comes in the form of, you know, suddenly your evaluations start to suffer and suddenly your work product isn't as good as it used to be according to those who are evaluating you. There's all these different ways to push women out and to just get rid of them, not to mention the fact if a woman comes forward, I mean, think about the women who have been brave enough to come forward and their names are out there. When they go to seek employment elsewhere, I mean, employers nowadays, we all use Google, right? We all get on the internet and do a little research on the person we're contemplating hiring. When her name pops up that she was involved in a sexual harassment suit or scandal, I think that gives some employers pause. They get a little concerned. So it's a big risk for women to take to even come forward. The bill itself just gives them the protection that your boss can't then turn around and, you know, come up and concoct ways to fire you because he just or she just doesn't want you around anymore because you're too much of a problem. It's just not fair to women. And I had this conversation yesterday with another member of the media who said, well, why do you think some of these women wait so long to report? And I go back to the fact that, look, it's 2017 and women are still losing their jobs for reporting this type of thing. Imagine what it was like 30 years ago, 25 years ago. I mean, it's a different world now, but it was much different even back then. So when someone is suspicious of why a woman would wait so long, I would refer them to a time in history when, you know, it was hard enough for women even to get into the workplace, let alone secure their job with legal protections.
Yeah, it always seems that once one or two will lay out their case and more come forward. So how important is it to get that first person to come out? That really seems to be the rabbit fence that the first person has to have the guts to come out. Is that right?
That's right. It is crucial, and it is the hardest thing to do because you have no idea how it's going to turn out. You have no idea if other women are going to come forward as well to kind of help, you know, solidify your case and highlight the fact that it is a huge problem. It's a tremendous burden on the woman who has to come forward because, remember, once that woman comes forward, immediately the opposition quickly goes to work on finding dirt in her background to highlight the fact that perhaps she's not so credible because she, you know, we claim she did this, this, or this in her past. That is always the case. So that's another stumbling block for women who want to come forward, and I think it makes them hesitant to be dragged through the mud when, you know, it's sort of being re-victimized. And when you've got a family to feed, when you've got children who may be on the internet, or who may see some of these accusations and stories about you, that's hard on the kids too. So it's not an easy thing. I would imagine that these women seek counsel beforehand, perhaps if they're spiritual, say some prayers and ask for some guidance, because it is a very tough thing to do.
By the way, Ms. Melendez, we have the founder of Women of Worth in the studio today. We did a interview with her. Her name is Sandy Schmidt, so she is now on mic. Sandy, you might want to say hello to Assemblywoman Melendez.
Hello, Assembly Melendez. It's so wonderful to meet you.
Oh, Sandy, what a treat. I'm so glad you're on the call with us. This is wonderful. Good job, Mark.
Really, yeah. I'm really enjoying listening to you and hearing you share everything that's going on, because we face that. Several of us have been victims to this, and I'm glad to hear this is revitalizing this, get this bill passed, and people are speaking up. Women are finally feeling safe enough to speak up.
Yeah, it is, like I said, it's scary, you know, especially if you're a young woman. I mean, I'm nearly 50 years old. I have a confidence level that I think exceeds many of my, the women who are perhaps just joining the workforce. So it's not an easy thing. I think back to when I was in the Navy, which was, you know, some time ago, and the Navy was changing toward the end of my career, you know, as far as women in the military. But I can remember a time when it was just before my first deployment to the Philippines. We were at a command picnic, and one of the more senior enlisted members there said to me, "Well, we're not going to sign your orders unless you agree to show me your tan lines when you get back." And I was 21 years old, and I'm thinking, okay, first of all, this guy's old enough to be my father, so ew. And then, you know, he's in a position of authority and power within the command, and that's very intimidating to a young woman. Now, I was raised by a very strong woman, so I didn't fall prey to his advances, but I'm certain there must have been other people, you know, along the way in his career path that he may have, you know, made feel very uncomfortable, or perhaps convinced them to follow through on his request. So it's still like that today. I guess that's my point, is that not, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same with respect to sexual harassment.
It's going on so much today. We see it a lot with women coming to us that their previous employer or somebody that else in their workplace has harassed them in such a way, and yet they want to advance in their career, but not like that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. I'm here in the studio with the founder of Women of Worth, Sandy Schmidt, and on the line, Assemblywoman Ms. Melissa Melendez. Now, Ms. Melendez, with the advent of so many accusations that are out in the media revolving around harassment, tell me a little bit about how the opinion of this bill has been altered. I'm sure you've seen a whole different view of this.
Well, you know, it's funny. The bill didn't get a whole lot of attention when I first introduced it, nor the second year or the third year or the fourth year. But this year, it's definitely gotten a lot of attention, which is great for the women. I think, you know, for whatever reason, people didn't understand the implications of the bill. We never made it solely about being able to report sexual harassment. That wasn't the sole focus because it covers a lot of things. But this year, of course, given everything that is going on, we made sure that we pointed out that, oh, by the way, this is something that the legislature could have fixed 4 years ago but chose not to. And how much longer are you willing to wait? How much longer are we going to tell women you're just going to have to suffer in silence? Mm-hmm. So I think it's you know, on the one hand, very sad that so many women have had to kind of go through this painful experience of communicating what has happened to them, but almost a joyful in the sense that I think there's a sense of relief now that, oh my goodness, I think this bill might actually pass this year and we can finally breathe a sigh of relief and share what has happened to us and try to fix the situation and change the culture, at least in the Capitol.
Right. I read this bill was originally billed as an anti-corruption measure. I don't know if you really actually named it that, but so
I did not.
Read that somewhere. So the content of this, especially in the last month and a half, is changed, or you're just getting a lot more attention?
No, the content certainly hasn't changed. The bill is the same, but I think the attention certainly has shifted. Again, though, it still covers whether you are sexually harassing or assaulting someone, or if you are engaged in corruption or bribery or, you know, graft, any of those things, covers that too. But remember that legislative staffers work directly with the legislator, so they know everything that's going on in our lives, or at least they should. They know where I am, who I'm with, what I'm talking about, what time I leave. So they have, really, they're in the best position to know if you're doing something inappropriate. So it only makes sense that they, you know, would have the protection to come forward and say, something isn't right here, and I think I need to let the authorities know and let them determine whether or not they need to do an investigation. Right now they can't do that. So while some women have come forward and shared their stories, I think there are many more who have not, because they still don't have that protection in place. And while there's strength in numbers and they sort of have a posse behind them now, you know, standing in their defense, the reality is, legally, they still don't have protection.
You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name's Mark Cuniberti. We're speaking on the phone here with Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez, and also in the studio, founder of Women Worth, Sandy Schmidt. So, Ms. Melendez, what is the next step in the process, both for you and the conduit for the flow of the bill?
Well, the next step is to submit the amendments that we are making to the bill, which, of course, I can't do until January 3rd, which is when we reconvene session. We will turn the amendments in that day, and then, of course, a full court press on the Senate side to get them to allow the bill to be heard, and get it passed and get it on the governor's desk for signature. So we are relying heavily, of course, on the media, on shows like yours, on, you know, print media to get the word out, which I must say the media has done a fabulous job of helping us out with this. Mm-hmm. It takes an outcry from the communities to get things like this done. That's the only way we're going to get this done, because clearly me trying to do it for the last 4 years without the help of everyone hasn't worked. So fingers crossed that this is the year. Because I wonder if Sandy has any input on the fact that there's a lot of other women who aren't being talked about with this issue, and that is because they're not in high-profile positions. So
right. Yes.
What about the women in janitorial services? What about the women in, you know, maybe who are working in the restaurant business? Kind of the jobs that we haven't really heard about, where, you know, I'm in politics, so I have a bully pulpit to, you know, communicate this message, but these women don't. And I just wonder, Sandy, if you have any comment on that?
That's a lot what we're seeing, and I know I'm years ago when I was in my early 20s, when I was working in a restaurant and I was a single mom, my employer then did the same thing. And he's no longer living, but I was horribly sexually harassed. And I come across this with the women today who are work for janitorial places. They work as nannies. They or maybe in advertising. It is a big one in advertising. Now they're out trying to get sales, and or they're in trying to get marketing, media, and just it's a lot. And they're scared. They're really terrified because the majority of these women are single women with kids. And they're afraid to move left or right because what could happen to them. And they're barely making ends meet as it is now. They don't know who to trust.
Right, and who do they go to? And, you know, is there an HR department that's going to take their claim seriously? And if they're not, do they even have the money to retain a lawyer to, you know, represent them in court? I just think it's much more, it's far-reaching, much more than people think, and yes. Hollywood is getting the attention, and politics, but there's a whole lot of in-between women who are not getting attention, and I think we just ought to at least respect the fact that they are suffering as well.
They're definitely suffering in silence.
Well, it seems well past its time for this bill, AB 403. So, Ms. Melendez, in a nutshell, could you review one more time for our listeners the main points of this bill?
Sure. This bill would allow for whistleblower protection to staff members who work directly for legislators so that if they report their boss for something illegal, unethical, immoral, sexual harassment, sexual assault, that type of thing, they would be afforded protections the same as every other state employee in California. So they couldn't be fired for reporting. They couldn't be, you know, kind of pushed out of the picture simply because they reported something that should have been reported.
Mm-hmm. And what can our listeners do to help the process? We're going to give your contact. I'm going to ask you your contact information in just a second. Obviously, you don't want anybody calling you, but what else can they do on a hands-on local level?
I think the best thing that they can do would be to write to the Senate. They can email or contact or, you know, call Senator Kevin De Leon and let him know that they want to see that this bill is passed this year. They're welcome to contact me as well with, you know, and share their support. I am on Twitter, ASM Melendez. I'm on my Facebook. I have an official Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Anyone can certainly Google my name and contact my district office or my Sacramento office. We take all of the suggestions and all of the support that we can get because that only builds our case for making sure that this bill gets passed.
And they can find you under, obviously, Melissa Melendez, M-E-L-E-N-D-E-Z. Do you have a phone number you want to give out or a website?
They can go to melendezforca.com. Mm-hmm. That is my website. If they want to contact, let's see, if they want to call my district office, let me get you, let's see, it'd be 916. Mm-hmm. Oops, I'm sorry. I want to make sure
I put you on the spot.
Number correct. Yeah, you did. I usually, you know, you, it's so funny now you have cell phones. You don't remember numbers. You just call them, right?
I just followed
the number.
I'm just following you now on Twitter.
Oh, great. So the Sacramento office number is 916-319-2067. And that is the number they can call and they can, you know, log their support with a member of my staff. We'll be happy to take that from them. If they have any questions, certainly happy to answer those.
You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name's Mark Cunaberti on Investing in Community series, where we explore the organization, its events, and the other things that are happening around us. We've been speaking to Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez, who is putting forth AB 403 for specifically harassment protection, retribution protection. We're also in the studio with Sandy Schmitz, founder of Women of Worth. I'll ask you, Sandy, do you want to add anything before we go?
Other than just encourage people to call their senators and get this bill passed.
And Ms. Melendez, you want to add anything to our listeners before we say adieu?
Well, I just want to thank you, Mark, for having me on and helping me get this message out. Sandy, thank you for the work that you're doing, just so incredibly important. And to the people who are listening, please, please call your state senator or call Kevin DeLeon and let them know that you want to see this bill pass, that it's time that women get the protection that they deserve.
Amen.
Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez, thank you for taking the time to enlighten our listeners on the issue of harassment, whistleblower protection, and your sponsoring of AB 403, the Whistleblower Protection Petition. And Sandy, thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you.
Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank
we'll
you,
be
Mark.
Right back on Money Matters. And you're tuned to KVMR FM in Nevada City, Music of the World, voice of the community. And thanks for joining me today. It was a great show. We spoke to Sandy Schmidt, founder of Women of Worth. Their phone number again, 530-264-7337. And also Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez on AB 403, the harassment bill protection, harassment bill, people coming forward. Great stuff, and so we're very, very glad to bring it to you. We're getting some messages on how you could hear this show. Has to go through regulators that will okay it before I post it, and so that'll be done probably. It usually takes about a week or so, and I don't think they're going to find anything in there that is egregious, so they'll probably swing it right through pretty quick. Website for that is also, you know, kvmr.org, of course. Moneymanagementradio.com is another, and I'm sure that you can find it through Women of Worth, and don't know if the Melendez people will be posting the show up there, but we'll definitely make it available to them if they want. So it was a pleasure. And again, if you'd like to see our video on Women of Worth, just go to the Facebook page. You go to my Facebook page or any of the big ones, and it's going to be all there. It'll be reposting again in about 3 days. It'll be all over again to be on the peeps and the vents and all the, what I call the B sites. So, where everybody posts. So, my name's Mark Cuniberti. Thanks a lot for joining me again. And so, yeah, we'll look like we'll, wrap up the show. The market right now is Dow is sitting at 24,179, up 39. And boy, that Bitcoin thing, holy macro, huh? This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any securities. So I get asked about Bitcoin a lot, and Paul Castro, who does a tech show on this radio station, has asked me to come on talk about Bitcoin. I'm like, dude, I've read a lot on Bitcoin. And I think between the two of us, Paul and I think we can discuss it if they allow me to. They're real, real sticky on what they allow me to talk about. So, for instance, I can't discuss marijuana stocks because it's illegal on a federal level, so I can't even talk about it. Can't do an article on it, can't do anything on it. So there you go. So you are listening to KVMR FM in Nevada City. And check out the program guide of your community radio station or email the program director at whatever station you're hearing the show on right now. It's live coming out of 120 Bridge Street in Nevada City. The studios of KVMR FM, our website, kvmr.org, of course. And I was going to ask, hey, Sandy, is there other, there are no other, are there other Women of Worth entities, even though they're not affiliated with you, that are everywhere or what?
Yes, the Women of Worth, we have not had a chance to do any trademarks and things like that. We've just been so busy. So there are, we try to make it really clear, we are not affiliated with anyone. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have used that name out there in different ways. The only time we frown on it is when we see someone who's really copying what we're doing, mm-hmm. using our logo, and then we'll call them and tell them to shut it down.
Okay, Sandy Schmidt, founder of Women of Worth. And of course, Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez, M-E-L-E-N-D-E-Z. Probably find her anywhere. I found her pretty easily. And the last minute, they agreed to call in and really partnered well with the Woman of Worth. And Sandy, you do a great job.
Thank you. Really, it was wonderful to talk with her. Yeah. She's an amazing woman.
All right. Well, the ladies and men out there, thanks for joining me on another edition of Money Matters. And remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions and do your own research before investing. The opinions expressed on this show are the opinions of myself and the speakers that I have had on the show today and do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge. This station, its staff members, or underwriters. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Advisors Research Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. We'll be back. Stay tuned for more fine programming on your community radio station.